I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching I Love Islam. Alhamdulillah, this is your favorite show. Alhamdulillah, it's children's program where we get to learn so many beautiful things about our religion, about the beauty of Islam. Inshallah, today we have some really nice topics, inshallah, that we will be discussing. Can I request all the kids who are watching this, make sure you watch this program till the end. First of all, before we discuss the story time, before we have sunnah and manners, and we have Islamic manners, different segments. Let's quickly go to the quiz of the day.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
Quiz of the day. Come on then, let's see what's the question for today. That's going to be interesting. Come on then, let's look at the question. The question is, what do angels eat and drink? What's their meal? What do they eat? What do they drink? Like, for example, we as humans, we eat so many things, don't we? Yeah, we start eating in the morning. The first thing we do when we wake up in the morning, what do? We have breakfast. And we have so many different items for breakfast, don't we? Yeah. Then we have lunch, then we have evening meal, and some people eat during the day as well. They have some snacks here and there. They have so many variety of drinks. But the question is, what do angels eat and drink? Remember, angels are made of nur, light. Their essence, their creation is from nur. What do they eat though? They are also, humans are a creation of Allah Ta'ala. And angels are also a creation of Allah. So what do they eat? We eat so many things in life. We have so many food items. When you go to, takeaways, restaurants, we go to places to eat. They have a big menu of food items. Yeah, but the question is, what do the angels eat? Now it's time for us to move on to our first segment of the day. What is it? Do you remember? It's story time.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
It's story time. This is one of the beautiful segments of the program. Alhamdulillah, this is the segment where we get to learn so many beautiful facts about our religion. Sometimes we choose a topic that we discuss. Sometimes we share a story. Sometimes we discuss a personality. And today, there's something that we're going to discuss. Well, what is it? Let's quickly look at the screen. What's the topic for today? It's the concept of speaking truth in Islam. How important is it for a Muslim to be honest, to tell the truth? That's the topic that we are going to talk about. This is something that beautifies your personality, that makes you a good person, a good human being, that defines your personality. Remember who you are, how you behave, how you react, and especially if you're an honest person, if you're a person who tells the truth, you build trust. So many people respect you for this. They know this man is honest. They have that confidence in you. They know sometimes you might get in trouble, but some people are blaming you, but the people around you, because they know your character, they know you from before, they can vouch for you. They can say, no, he's not done it. He's the honest person. If he's saying he's not done it, that means he's not done it. Why do they vouch for you? Because they know you're an honest person. You build trust in them. That is the beauty of being honest. So today, inshallah, we are going to talk about the importance and the significance of being honest or being truthful in Islam, inshallah. Well, let me share with you a beautiful fact first. Let's talk about the prophets of Allah Ta'ala. Today, inshallah, I want to start off mentioning to you a key term, an Islamic terminology we use, and that is called, this term that we normally use, you might have heard it somewhere, you might have read it somewhere. From the whole of humanity, from all the humans, those individuals, those personalities who have the higher rank, do you know who they are? They are the prophets of Allah Ta'ala. They are the messengers of Allah Ta'ala. They are these honorable men or the chosen men of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are called the prophets of Allah. Then above the prophets, there are messengers. They are known as Rusul. Or if you want to mention one Rusul, we say Rasul. And from the messengers, there are some who have messengers have different ranks. And some of them have the highest rank. Do you know who are the top five messengers? And they are known as Ulul Azm Rusul. Ulul Azm Rusul. This is a terminology that is used. You can say the top five messengers, the top five Rasul. Do you know who they are? Well, I'm going to share that with you today. Are you going to remember it? I want you to remember them, okay? If you want to write these down, write them down. Or write on the phone or notebook, wherever you want. Or save it in your memory. Remember these five beautiful names. Okay? So here we go. The first prophet of Allah Ta'ala, from the top five, the highest one, the one who's got the most highest rank in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Who is it? Our beloved prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Number one is Sayyiduna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then number two is Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. Number two is Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. Number three, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. Then Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. Then Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam. These five prophets are known as Ulul Azm Rusul. They are the messengers of Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah. And let me share with you another fact about the prophets. All the prophets of Allah Ta'ala who came on this earth, they came to guide the mankind. That is their objective. That is their purpose. Why they were sent. Why did Allah Almighty send so many prophets? They sent so that the humans can be guided towards the truth. Today's topic is the concept of truth in Islam. And Allah Almighty sent down prophets and messengers, hundreds and thousands of prophets of Allah Ta'ala, alayhi wasalam. They arrived onto this earth. Some prophets of Allah, they came to certain tribes, certain cities, certain countries, and they had different roles, different areas where they were focusing to spread the truth. And they came to guide the mankind, to tell them the truth, to guide them towards one and only truth, which is Allah and oneness of Allah. There is only one creator, one Rabb, who is our sustainer, who is the most powerful, who is the most great, who is the greatest, our Rabb, Allah Almighty. So all the prophets of Allah, peace and blessings be upon them all, they arrived to guide everyone, to connect everyone with the Creator, with Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. Because the biggest haqq, the biggest truth is there is one Allah and only one Allah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah. And Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is the last and final prophet of Allah. Subhanallah. The messengers came to guide the mankind. However, did you know that for many messengers, many prophets, they had a lot of obstacles. When they invited people towards the truth, when they invited them to come to Islam, follow the truth, believe in the haqq, you know what happened? There were some people who were so evil. They were so disrespectful to the extent that sometimes, you know, they physically, you know, abused the prophets of Allah. Some evil people, they throw stones. They give so much difficult time to prophets of Allah Ta'ala. However, in return, all the prophets of Allah Ta'ala, remember, they were all courageous. They were all brave. They were so strong. Allah Ta'ala sent them with so much power, so much strength. And that is the reason why, you know, they have so high status. Remember, if the person who is more closer to Allah, that person has more tests, more trials in life. It's a part of life, isn't it? Yeah, that is something we need to realize, that the more you are closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, the more you are tested. Why are you tested? Why do you face difficulty? Why do you face challenges in life? There are many reasons, and some of them reasons are because one, to increase your rank. Yeah, if a person, you know, when he faces difficulty and challenges, and that person remains patient, he stays cool, he doesn't just blow out, doesn't scream, he doesn't get out of control, that person remains cool and calm, remains patient, then Allah Almighty gives that person so much reward and blessings for being patient. And then the person, when the person is patient, then the Allah Almighty increases the rank of that person. So there's so much wisdom behind when a person faces difficulty. So remember, in your life, if you're finding any challenges, then you need to be patient as well. You need to be strong. Because if prophets of Allah Ta'ala were tested and they were patient, and we need to act upon their teaching as well. Inshallah, can I quickly remind everyone, we gave a question at the beginning. Should we revise that? What was the question? The question was, what do angels eat and drink? Before we continue with our topic, we'll watch a video package and then inshallah we'll come back to you again inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Kaniz Fatima, good girl,
Kaniz
Fatima,
girl.
Everyone loves her. She is truthful, she stops the wrong and enjoys the right. Everyone loves her. She is truthful, she stops the wrong and enjoys the right. Kaniz Fatima, good girl,
Kaniz
Fatima,
girl.
Everyone loves her. She is truthful.
Oh, where's the answer gone? Hold on, let me just shut the window. Bye bye, may Allah protect you. Yay! Wow! Oh! Wow, that's wonderful! Once more, let me fly it. Oh, wow, how nice it is! It's so much fun!
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, why did he stop recitation of the Quran as soon as he entered the house?
Unity remains in the house by reciting Suratul Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, after entering the home, and it brings blessings in the sustenance. Anyhow, I came for a reason. I'm gonna put sacred papers in the box. If you have any kind of sacred papers in your room or anywhere, could you kindly get them for me, please?
All right, Brother Ghulam Rasool, I'll just have a look.
Jazakillahu khaira.
Yay! Let me make another one.
Huh? Oh no! Rika, what have you done? You ripped so many pages of your notebook and wasted all of them. Look at this mess.
May Allah Almighty forgive us.
Rika, this is not nice. It's really bad.
Hold on a sec, sis. Let me explain. This was my rough notebook, which was full. That's why I asked Mum to buy me the new ones. This notebook was of no use at all.
Rika, remember one thing. Whatever we write in our notebook, we need to make sure that we respect it and honor it. Because remember, all those things that become a means of teaching us knowledge, we should give them all a lot of respect. We should make sure that we don't throw them on the ground and waste them and disrespect them in this way.
But sis, there's no hadith or any verse of Quran written on it. It was just a rough notebook.
Rika, whatever we write in our notebooks, regardless of whatever language it is in, we should make sure that we fully respect it. And in particular, we need to make sure that we don't disrespect sacred papers at all in any state.
That's fine, sis, but first of all, tell me one thing. That what is meant by sacred papers?
Rika, all such papers that have the verse of the Quran written on them, or any part of it, or any name of Allah, or a name of any of the prophets, or of the awliya, or any such thing, or any such name. Respecting which is obligatory, meaning first upon us. Every such paper is known as sacred paper.
Astaghfirullah. This is truly really bad. Please forgive me, sis. I'll not do this again in future.
Jazakallahu khaira. May Allah Almighty grant his steadfastness. Ameen.
Thumma ameen. But sis, what is steadfastness?
Okay, Rika, let me explain you what steadfastness means. Steadfastness means to remain firm on any action, work, or intention that you make. Like right now you just said, that you will never do this again, ever in future. So I made a dua for you to Allah Almighty that, may Allah Almighty enable you to remain steadfast on the pious intention that you just made.
Ameen. Sis, what about my notebooks?
Yes, Rika, don't worry, I told Mum about that. She's just making a list of things to buy right now. She will add that in as well.
Jazakallahu khaira.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, here you go.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, where are you taking this?
Rika, I'm gonna put this sack of sacred papers in the sacred paper box that we have on our street.
Sis, why not sell these papers to the guy who buys secondhand papers?
No, Rika, I've seen on these papers that there are many respectful and noble words and sacred names written on them. It is not right and appropriate to sell them as you have just suggested.
Did you see? There's Bismillah written on it. We should make sure that we respect these sacred writings. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, the one who picks up such a piece of paper from the ground, which has Bismillahir Rahman Rahim written on it, out of the respect of Allah Almighty, Allah Almighty will include him among Siddiqeen.
Siddiqeen? What is meant by Siddiqeen?
Rika, Siddiqeen are those people who tread upon the path of the Prophets alayhi wasalam with sincerity.
Instead of doing this to the sacred papers, we should try and gather them and put them in the sacred paper box. And for this purpose, Darwati Islami's boxes of sacred papers are the best option for us. Because they have a proper system in place, from the point of collecting the sacred papers to disposing them respectfully according to Sharia.
Dear children, if you ever come across any such paper on the way, or you see any such thing on your way which contains any sacred words, or any verse of the Holy Quran, or any hadith written on it, then make sure to pick it up. After that, clean it properly and ask an elder person to put them in the available boxes of sacred papers in your locality with utmost respect and reverence. Jazakallahu khaira.
Oops. Ah. I'm sorry.
Kaniz Fatima, good girl.
Kaniz Fatima. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, that was Kaniz Fatima and Ghulam Rasool teaching us some very important lessons for our life. It's important that a Muslim, he looks after himself, he focuses on his own personality. And one thing that we have to keep in mind is if you have any Islamic literature at home, especially if it's become old or if it's torn apart, then we still have to respect that. We have to make sure we look after that. We can't just throw it away. For example, if you got some the glorious Quran at home and it's one of those copies that is really old, you know, you've not used it at home for so many years and it's been there for so long, and you can't just like say, okay, it's old now and just put it away. No, you can't just, I don't want to use the word throw here, but you can't, you have to still respect it. You have to look after it as much as you can. Then there's a certain way how you dispose them or how you put them away. There's a certain procedure what you have to do. You have to either bury them or you put them in a river. There's a whole procedure. You can obviously speak to your elders for further guidance, but it's something we have to realize as kids. We need to know if there's any Islamic word written on a paper, even if it's your school book, if it's like, for example, the word Allah is written, even if it's in English, if the word Allah is written, or the word Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is written, or any Arabic word, or if it's a verse of the Quran, anything like that, we need to make sure we love it, we respect it. We can't just throw that paper on the floor. Can I quickly remind the kids out there as well, when you go to your Madrasatul Madina, when you go to your local masjid to read Quran, then you need to make sure you respect the glorious Quran. When you hold it next to your heart. Yeah, when you put it on a desk, don't put it on the floor. Sometimes you have your madrasa bag, you put it on the floor. If you got Quran Pak inside, you need to make sure you hold it with respect. Are you going to do it now? Yeah, you're going to make sure next time you're going to respect the glorious Quran, inshallah. Inshallah. Right? I was telling you some beautiful facts about prophets of Allah Ta'ala. So the top five prophets, who are they? Can I quickly give you a reminder? Now, what is the number one? Can you say aloud? What's the first, the five prophets of Allah Ta'ala who have the highest rank? From them, who is number one? Who is the first one? It's our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Then it's Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. Then Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. And then Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam. These are five messengers of Allah who are known as Ulul Azm Rusul. Now today, inshallah, I want to share with you some interesting facts about one of them prophets. And inshallah, today I want to share with you some beautiful facts. I'm going to give you some introduction about one of the beautiful and mighty prophet of Allah, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. Subhanallah, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, one of the great prophets of Allah Ta'ala. Did you know that Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, do you know the father's name of Sayyiduna Musa? Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, his father's name is Imran radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Imran. Imran was the name of the father of Musa al-Islam. And if you look at his family tree, if you trace his family tree, then it meets one of the greatest prophets of Allah Ta'ala, Sayyiduna Ibrahim al-Islam. He is from the lineage, blessed lineage of Sayyiduna Ibrahim al-Islam. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam is from the blessed lineage of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now let's try to see the gap in between. Okay, how many years after Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did Prophet Musa alayhi salam came to this earth? According to one report, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam came on this earth around 700 years after Prophet Ibrahim al-Islam. 700 years, 7 centuries after. That's a big gap, isn't it? Yeah. Sayyidina Musa al-Islam came after 700 years. And do you know how many years Prophet Musa al-Islam came after Prophet Yusuf al-Islam? According to one report, Prophet Musa al-Islam came after 400 years. 400 years after Yusuf al-Islam. And how long did Musa al-Islam live on this earth? Do you know the answer? Prophet Musa al-Islam lived 120 years. This is according to one report, 120 years. And subhanallah, today inshallah, I'm going to share with you some an interesting fact about a story that took place at the early age of Musa al-Islam. When Musa al-Islam was just born, And just a couple of days in his childhood, what happened and how, you know, there was some extraordinary event that took place. Maybe for you, it's the first time you're hearing this. So make sure you pay attention and listen to this. When the honorable mother of Musa alayhi salam, she was known as Yuhannath radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was when she gave birth to Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam was a baby, a child. Remember, let me give you a bit of background first. Musa alayhi salam came at a time where there was a very evil king, a ruler who's known as Pharaoh, Fir'aun. And this Pharaoh, he was really evil. He had a dream, and when he asked for a meaning of the dream to his people, and they told him, the dream tellers, they made him aware that there's going to be a child who's going to grow who will become your enemy and he will destroy you. And now he thought, okay, what could I do now to protect myself, to make myself live longer? What should I do? So one strategy that he came up with, which was really wrong, it was evil, it was ugly. What was it? He decided to, astaghfirullah, he decided to murder all the baby boys. Yeah, that's what he decided. And then later on, when loads of children were passed away, remember this was a time where people, the rich people, had so many slaves, and they could say they were lazy, yeah, and they used to have slaves. And then some people came to him that, look, you killed so many children, so when our slaves become old, then who's going to be our future slaves? Because you're killing all the children. So then they decided, okay, look, we'll try to keep some children as well. So what we'll do, one year we'll save the children. So 1 year we'll save the boys, 1 year we'll kill the boys. Astaghfirullah. This was their evil thought. And it wasn't just a thought, that was their practice. That's what he used to do. So Musa alayhi salam, when he was born in that same area, he was born in the year where he decided that he will kill all the boys. Allahu Akbar. That was the time, that was the year when Musa alayhi salam was born. Now what happened? What used to happen when a boy is born, obviously when a child is born, what does it do? It cries, it makes noise. That's what it does, isn't it, when a child is born. Yeah, and loads of people find out, your family, your people around you, the neighbors, they all find out there's a birth that took place in that house. So now the question was, if the neighbors find out, and there's a danger that these people will complain to the ruler and will tell the ruler, and so that they can harm the child, astaghfirullah. Now, what do we do? Now, the honorable mother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, she was really worried. She didn't know what to do. At this moment, no one else was aware that she has given birth to a baby boy. And only the sister of Musa alayhi salam, she was aware. So only these two people were aware of this birth. No one else from the wider family, from the neighbors, no one knew that this birth has taken place and a baby boy has been born. And what happened? Subhanallah, look at the rank of this honorable lady that at the time of birth, Allah Almighty inspired this lady with either through a dream or through an angel or through a spiritual message, and Allah Almighty made the lady aware, made the honorable mother of Musa alayhi salam aware, and told the honorable mother that don't worry, don't be scared. Go ahead and, you know, give milk to the baby boy. Look after him. And if you feel that the neighbors will harm the child, if you feel they found out and they're going to complain to the ruler, then without any fear, without any hesitance, have courage, have the strength, and place this child on the side of the river Nile, which is in Egypt. River Nile. So place the child on the side of the river Nile. Now you think, what's going on here? How can you put a baby boy just in the river Nile? But remember, this wasn't a normal thing that was going to happen. This was something special. this is something amazing that is going to happen. So this is something, a message that she received either through a dream or an angel, or just spiritually she got this message. She became aware that Allah Almighty is saying to me that go and continue to milk the child, look after him, nurture him, and whenever you feel there's danger, the people will harm him, then go and take him, and without any fear of the suffering, without any trouble, don't have any worry of drowning, just place him on the side of a river, Nile. And he will be protected and he will come back to you. So this promise was made to her as well. This child will come back to you at one point. And inshallah, we shall return him to you and make him one of the messengers. So she knew that this child is something special. So now, for some days, she milked the child, looked after him. And subhanAllah, during this period, you know, the scholars have written that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, although if as a child, kids make noise, they cry, they make sound, but subhanAllah, Musa alayhi salam did not cry. He did not make noise. He did not disturb other people. No one found out. Yeah? So he was really calm. Wherever the mother would place him, he would remain there. He was very calm. He was still and he was cool. He did not make noise, subhanAllah. However, after some days, there was a fear that the neighbors are going to find out and they will probably harm the child. Now the question is, what do you do? So what the mother decided, in the secret of a night, she got this special cot made. This was specially made for in such a way that if the child was placed in this cot, in this little box, in certain way, that if this was placed on top of a river, then the child would not drown. There was specially made cot for the child. And whatever she had at that time, she wrapped the child around and put the child in the secret of a night when no one else is aware of this. She put the baby on the side of a river stream. The river was flowing, the water was flowing. And then, you know what she did? She left the child in the trust of Allah. Can you believe us? What's just happened? The mother has just put the child, just some days old child, on the river. She made it flow. Yeah. Because she had this trust in Allah. She wanted to protect. She knew that if she left the child at home, then the evil people will murder the child, will give harm to him. So she was really scared and worried. Then she left this in the trust of Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And after this, do you know what happened? Allahu Akbar. When the child was floating on the river and from going so far in this river stream, and guess what happened? Do you know which person met the child? Which person picked up this baby boy? And do you know who actually named Prophet Musa alayhi salam? Who gave him that name? And what does that name mean? What does Musa mean? Do you know these? Come on then, let me share them with you. Some beautiful facts from the life of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. So when the honorable mother of Musa alayhi salam, when she left him on to float on the river Nile, and then she left it in the trust of Allah, in the protection of Allah, and alhamdulillah, Allah Almighty is the one who protects. Remember one thing, if Allah wants to protect someone, then no one can harm that person. So always have trust in Allah Ta'ala. Whenever you leave your things as well, for example, when you leave your home, every day when you leave your home for school, for work, or whatever it is, then when we should say, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah. Yeah, leave your house in the protection of Allah Ta'ala. And when you're traveling on a journey, you say, Ya Allah, I'm leaving all this in your protection. Ya Allah, keep this safe. Look after my family. Keep my family safe and protected. It's a beautiful thing to do. Subhanallah. Anyway, Allah Almighty is the one who protects everyone. Allah Almighty is the one who protected Prophet Musa al-Islam when he was a child, when he was left alone to float on the river Nile. Allahu Akbar. Normally it's just very hard for us to even imagine how can it even happen. But remember, this was a normal mother. She knew this was a message from Allah Ta'ala, and she knew that this was like a guidance he was getting, and this is a way out for way out and a protection for the child. So she did as she was told. She left the child there. The river started, was flowing anyway, and the child was floating. And then it kept floating. And then as a coincidence, on the other side, there was another lady called Asiya. This lady, she saw this box there in the river. She thought, what's going on here? Yeah. And there was a river stream, river flowing on one side. There was trees on the river bank as well. And in that area, when she saw this, she quickly went. She picked up this box. She noticed there's a child inside. There's a baby boy. Someone has left a baby boy in the water. And she picked the baby boy up. So it was the lady Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was the one who picked up this child. And you know who is Lady Asiya? Maybe you're hearing this name for the first time. The Lady Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was actually the wife of that ruler, the Fir'aun. She was actually the wife of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was an evil guy. He was a really bad person. However, this honorable lady, Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she later on in life, you remember that beautiful the miracle that took place in front of loads of magicians. When all loads of magicians came in front of Musa al-Islam and they threw their ropes and they became snakes. And Musa al-Islam threw his beautiful staff, the miraculous staff at them, and all them snakes, you know, the staff of Musa al-Islam ate all the ropes and all the fake snakes. Do you remember that big beautiful incident? When that incident took place, when the magicians, you know, they lost in front of Musa al-Islam, that was something that this lady Asiya was watching as well. She actually witnessed that with her own eyes. And she was so inspired by that. She was one of those people on that occasion who accepted Islam. She accepted the prophethood of Prophet Musa al-Islam. Subhanallah. She became a Muslim. So later on, the Pharaoh, you know, when he found out that my wife has become a Muslim, he tortured her, he abused her, he gave her so much hard time. Allahu Akbar. But anyway, back to this childhood of the Prophet Musa al-Islam. So what happened? The lady Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she picked up this baby boy and she loved him, she cared for him, and she went home. She said, look, I'm going to keep this boy. Yeah, I'm going to look after him. I'm going to nurture him. And subhanAllah, this is how Prophet Musa al-Islam was brought up. And the lady Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the one who named this child Musa alayhi salam. She gave the name Musa. And you know, the people who lived at that time, there was a tribe called Qibti. Yeah, people were known as Qibti. They are from that tribe. And these people, in their language, the word Mu used to refer to water. So the word Mu means water, and the word Sa refers to tree. So because this child was found between water and tree, he became known as Musa. Subhanallah. That is amazing, isn't it? So Prophet Musa al-Islam was actually named by this honorable lady Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Just to close the story, so this is how Prophet Musa al-Islam had a struggle at the young age and his childhood. And then where Pharaoh had this wish that he wants to kill all the boys. But look, when Allah wants to protect someone, no one can harm. And Allah Almighty protected Musa al-Islam. And not just protected Musa al-Islam, but subhanallah, Musa al-Islam, you know, he got his upbringing, you know, in the house of Pharaoh, in front of Pharaoh. And you know, he didn't even know that it will be this child who is a prophet of Allah Ta'ala and who will come, who will go against me at one time, who will go against the falsehood and he will fight against me. He didn't even know this. But subhanAllah, when Allah Almighty wants to protect someone, this is how Allah Ta'ala sends examples to us. So we need to keep in mind as well, you know, if you have difficulty, if you have problems in life, then don't lose hope. Be strong. Have faith in Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah Almighty is the one who protects you, who will save you. Ask Allah Ta'ala for mercy. Make dua for the protection of yourself and your family members. Subhanallah, this was a short story from the early age of the childhood of Prophet Musa al-Islam, and how Musa al-Islam survived this difficult time, you know, of the childhood. And subhanallah, throughout his life, you know, there were so many miraculous events that took place in the blessed life of Musa al-Islam. Subhanallah, Musa al-Islam was blessed with had this miraculous staff, a stick, and once Musa al-Islam hit this stick on a stone, 12 springs of waters came out from there. Spring of water, water flowing from there, drinking water came out from this rock, from this stone. 12 different springs. And you know, this water, it wasn't like short water for a short period, but according to one report, 40 years, people of Bani Israel, they benefited from that water. They used to drink from that water for so long. They used to water their animals as well. 40 years, subhanallah. This man, Allah Ta'ala protects someone, no one can harm him. May Allah Ta'ala keep us all safe and protected in our life. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. We have a voice message. Let's see who has sent us a voice message. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaikum, my name is Amina. Today, I'm going to read something to you. I testify that there's no worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone. He has no partner. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his prophet.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, that was beautiful. Wow, mashallah, that was so nice. Mashallah, that was Amina from Oldham, and she read the translation of the first kalima, if you want to say, and the belief in Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, that was really good. Mashallah, well done, Amina. Mashallah, good girl, well done. Mashallah. Now it's time for us to move on to our next segment of the day, which is Sunnah Lifestyle.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
It's Sunnah Lifestyle. This is a segment where we get to learn some beautiful Sunnah and manners of those things that we can actually do on daily life. So what's the topic today? Come on then. It's something that we do every single day. We do it in the morning. Some people do it first thing they wake up in the morning. Some people do it during the day as well. And also the last thing before they go to sleep. Yeah. We do it every single day. You know, and it's a blessing of Allah Ta'ala, isn't it? Yeah. What is it? It's eating food. We eat food, but today we are going to learn about the importance of sharing food. We all eat. We have breakfast, we have dinner, we have lunch. However, you know, eating is one thing, the sunnah and manners of eating. But today, inshallah, we are talking about the importance of sharing food. Remember the formula. Sharing is caring. Yeah. When you share food with someone, so you're eating together. As a family, your friends, you're eating together, and there's some food in front of you. You know, it could be, for example, it could be some roasted chicken or anything else, and or dessert piece, or cake, or you know, anything that's in front of you, and you really like it, and it's on the table, that's the main thing there, and it's actually in front of you. So rather than jumping at it or diving onto it, yeah, it's better that you share that with someone else. What you like for yourself, you should like that for others. That's the formula. This is the sunnah way. This is the lesson we learn from the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What you love for yourself, love for your brother, love for your sister, love for your mom and dad. Give that same thing to other people. So what happens to us when we share things with them? A lot of times when kids share their sweets and now other things they share with their family sometimes, they share it because they don't like it themselves. They don't want to eat it or they're full. That's when you share it. You know, the buzz, the beauty is you share something when you love it yourself. When you need it yourself, you give that to someone else. For example, you know, you're having a meal and now you need to drink water, but there's only one glass of water there. If it's possible, give that to someone else. Yeah? You can always put more water afterwards, but give that water, give another person to drink that water first. It's a beautiful thing. You know, when you give food to someone, when you share, drink with someone, alhamdulillah, you build bridges, you build love between each other. You have affection, you have brotherhood. And this is Islam. This is the beauty of Islam. Sharing food with one another, this makes you strong. This makes you united. And that is something that is missing in our families. That is something that is missing in our society these days. And we need to work to improve this. And one of the ways to improve it is sharing food. For example, it's your birthday. Okay? On your birthday where you have cake and we have so many things that you make at home, why don't you, as a way of celebrating your birth, why don't you cook some food and then put it into containers and share it with your wider family? Go out and in your neighborhood, in your family, relatives, go and give food to your family. Make a little box, food box, and give that food to them. Okay? Make a little package. Why don't you give it to 5 houses, 10 houses? Yeah? On Eid day, on Eid occasion, Ramadan, it's a beautiful time as well. Why don't we share food with our family, with our friends? This is the beauty of Islam. Look after the people. There are so many people out there who are struggling. There are people out there who are poor. They don't have food to eat. And what do? We have so many food items. Then we be nosy. I don't want to eat this. I don't like this. I don't like this. No, I'm not going to eat this. Astaghfirullah. Some people, they just throw it. They just push it on the table. They push it off the table, you know, and they make a mess. This is not the right way. Muslim respects food. Remember this. Respect the food. If it's water, respect every drop of water. This water is valuable, it's special. It's a gift from Allah Ta'ala. If you have food item, if it's milk, if it's bread, if it's cake, whatever it is, if something your parents have made for you, this is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. We have to honor it. You have to respect it. So make an intention, inshallah, from now on, we are going to share food with our family, inshallah. Who's going to share food from now on? Are you? Inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and keep you well, inshallah. Now, just before we continue, just to remind everyone again, alhamdulillah, we had a question, and it was to do with food, wasn't it? The question is, what do the angels eat and drink? Okay, we eat, we drink so many things, but what do angels drink? What do angels eat? That's an interesting question. Today, inshallah, we're going to learn something very important about angels, inshallah. And also, whilst we're talking about sharing food, is there anyone out there who's making the intention that from now on, I'm going to share food with my brother and my sisters, with my parents? Another beautiful practice that you can have in your family is try to eat collectively. Whenever you eat, eat together. So normally it's better to fix a time. For example, from 8 o'clock till 8:30, between that time, that's our breakfast time, family breakfast time, or lunch time, or evening meal. Yeah, you can say 7 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock in the evening. That's our evening meal time, and everyone should get together at that time. Everyone should eat together. Yeah. Unfortunately, in this day and age, what happens? Mom, make me food. There's check and child comes, make me food. And everyone's having food at different times. It shouldn't be like that. We want family. We need to eat together. When you eat together, then you increase love and unity between each other. You have the strength. Remember, when you're together, that is your strength. We are one family. Why do we eat separate? Yeah. Okay, some people have different work pattern. They come work at different times. That's a different occasion. But generally, we should try our best to eat collectively. And inshallah, if we succeed in doing this in our household, inshallah, we'll have unity in our family. We will have love. And inshallah, we'll be able to share food with one another as well. Yeah. And then when you're eating together, do you know that you should wait for your parents to eat first? If there's parents there, if there's a scholar there who's eating as well, you know, let them start the eating first. Then the little ones should start. This is also a form of respect and honor. This is something for us to keep in mind, inshallah. Now, let's quickly move on to our last segment of the day, Islamic manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Islamic manners. This is the segment where we get a chance to talk about such topics that beautify your personality, that make you a good human being. And today we are going to go to the foundational thing that makes us, tells us about the reality of our creation. Why did Allah Almighty create us? What's the topic that we are going to discuss? It's the purpose of life. Purpose of life. That is something we need to realize. Let me ask you some questions. And I want you to reflect upon this. Everyone who's watching this, let's reflect upon this. The first question is, who are you? As your basic definition, who are you? You are a human being. Allah made you a human. Okay? Who are you? You're a human. Next question. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why did Allah create you? What's your purpose of life? And that's the topic that we are discussing today, inshallah. And just to add another thing to this, the second question is, why are you here? Third question is, where are you going? So you're a human being. Why are you here? And where are you going? What is your purpose of life? Now let's try to understand the purpose of life. Our objective, our purpose of life, what is it? But before I tell you that, let's just analyze things that are around us. You're watching this program, aren't you? Where are you watching it? You're watching it on Madani Channel. Either on your big screen, or TV screen, or you're watching this on your phones, on your tablets, on your PC. You're watching it on a screen, aren't you? So why do you have that screen? What's the purpose of that screen? Whoever designed this screen, why did they do it? The purpose of the screen is so they can display video, they can display messages, they have an audio system so people can hear the person who's talking. So the objective and purpose of TV screens is that they can have a display that people can watch and see and understand. I'm in the studio, sitting in front of a camera. What's the objective of the camera? The camera is the thing that records the image, and it, then later on there's a system in place that transfers it to the satellite, and then it's broadcasted worldwide. So the objective of the camera is to record the image, record the movements, record the video. I'm sitting on a sofa. The purpose of a sofa, what is it? So someone can sit here, someone can relax themselves. Why do we have a table? The table is made, whoever made the table is made so we can have our, you know, we can put things on the table, we can have food on the table, we can have drink on the table. So if you think, just observe things around you. You've got light in your house, the bulb in your house. What's the purpose of the bulb? The objective of the bulb is when it's switched on, it gives light. And when it's light and it's bright in your house, then you can see things around you. And if there's no light there, it'll be all dark. You won't be able to see things. So everything around us has a purpose. And the question is, what is your purpose? Why did Allah create you? And the answer is, we learn this from our glorious Quran. The Quran, which is the last and final message of Allah Ta'ala, which was revealed on His beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. Allah Almighty tells us in the glorious Quran that the purpose of life is to worship Allah Almighty. So Allah Almighty has created us so we recognize Allah. We get closer to Allah Ta'ala. We learn more about the attributes, the qualities of Allah Ta'ala. We worship Allah Almighty. That is our purpose of life. That is our real thing. And one of the best form of worship is to perform your 5 daily prayers. Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. These are the actual things why you have been created. So make sure we act upon the purpose of our life. Make sure We perform our salah daily. We establish our prayers. Every day we should pray our salah. Every day we should do zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Every day we should learn about Islam. We should learn about the Quran. And we try to get closer to our Creator. Because that is our objective. That is our purpose. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to realize the importance of the purpose of life. Inshallah Azawajal. Now, because time is not on our side, it's time for us to close the program. But before we do that, should we quickly have a look at the answer of the day? So what's the answer of the day? Angels do not eat and drink anything. Subhanallah. Remember, angels, they don't eat, they don't drink. Yeah. This is something that humans do. Yeah, we do it, but not angels. Angels are free from eating and drinking. The question is, if they don't eat or drink, then what do they eat? Well, they don't eat anything. Yeah, angels don't need to eat. They are created from nur. They are created from light, and they don't feel hunger. They don't need to have something to eat to survive. Allah Ta'ala, you know, has created them in such a way that they are made of light, made of nur, and they don't eat, they don't drink. And also, just to let you know, another beautiful fact about angels: angels—they're not like humans. They have male or female, a boy or a girl. There's no boy angel. There's no girl angel. Angels are just angels. There's no he or she with angels. Angels are just pure. They are different creation. They are made of nur. So they don't eat or drink. And subhanAllah, today we got to learn a beautiful fact about angels. Inshallah, next week we'll come back to you with another topic, another story time, and some beautiful segments, inshallah. Another quiz of the day. But until then, look after yourself and keep praying your salah. Before we go, can everyone who's watching this program, can you say, I love Islam in a nice and loud voice? Come on, everyone. Let's say, after three, let us all say, I love Islam. One, two, three. I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.